So we are continuing in our summer series of finding faith off the beaten path. Sometimes that means finding lessons and ways that God is coming into our lives in surprising places or from surprising topics, like we've looked at with things with cooking or different TV shows and things like that recently. But that also means that we get a range of perspectives, and I'm so thankful to like Mike and Elena and telling us about how they found God's lessons from mission trips that they've done and all the things that they were able to share. Krista's going to share with us next week, which is really important. And we have lots of amazing perspectives, people with lots of amazing experiences here in this church, and it means so much to me that so many of you are willing in different ways to share that in what we do in worship and other parts of Living as Community. I think that's one of the most beautiful things that we have here, is it's really not about a bunch of people watching me or Vicky or Lori or other people, but we are a true community of offering our gifts to God, and that's a really amazing thing. One of the things we obviously also have here at the church is multiple generations of folks, and so those perspectives are really important too. Over the last year, we have all had a range of challenging and difficult, but also sometimes encouraging experiences with COVID and with all sorts of other things that have helped us see new ways that God can be active in our lives and that God can help us, even from different experiences and perspectives, help each other. And we know that this is true not only for ourselves and the things that come to mind, but also especially for our kids and what it's been like to juggle school, to juggle being able to do activities or not, what it's like to sustain developing friendships when you can't see people the way that you've been used to. And kids especially are in a season of life where you are really focused on learning and development and growth. And so that perspective can really help us, but we know that no matter what stage of life that we're in, God can still walk us through those exact experiences. And we don't want to take that for granted, that ability to continue to learn, to continue to grow, to develop, even if sometimes we don't notice it at certain stages of life until a roadblock pops up and we're like, oh, I really got to learn something now, or otherwise I won't know where to go. We want to continue to develop. We want to continue to learn. But sometimes we do reach a point where we have to say, I don't even know where to start. I have to be taught how to learn, not just taught this thing about this. I have to be taught how to learn this. We went to Nashville last week, and we went to a science center, and Cohen picked out a Rubik's Cube. And he was really interested in learning how to do that. But we didn't know where to start. And naturally, like nowadays, most places that you start, like I couldn't just take out the Rubik's Cube and be like, oh, okay, I'll just like fiddle around with this, and then boom, it'll be fine. You go to YouTube, right? And somebody's made a video somewhere of like, this is how you do the thing. We've learned over the course of whatever how that gets passed down. But even that, having a place to start to learn, I couldn't do it within myself. I had to go outside of myself. And then I had to learn how to learn to do this Rubik's Cube, where I had to learn different moves of what to do with my hands. And it was awkward at first. And I almost broke the cube a couple times, like hearts popping off and stuff like that. And then I had to like learn how to piece all that together. And it took a couple days of referring back to those videos over and over again to finally get it. And then now, though, my family's like making fun of me because I don't want to lose the information. So Cohen will go and mess it up and then leave it somewhere. And if I'm like walking around the house and don't have much to do, I'll be like, oh, I'll just do it again real quick so it doesn't slip out of my brain. But that's a good example of what life can be like a lot of times, even something that comes right in front of us. And we're like, well, I'll fiddle with it and we'll see what happens. But we need to learn how to learn sometimes to keep that moving forward. And so we want to make sure that we find all those different ways that God especially comes into our life to help us through those most difficult processes. And because kids are often most in that sense of their identity that really we all share, but sometimes we don't always tap into, that at base of our faith, we are called disciples, just like Jesus' original followers. And disciples really fundamentally means learners. And that's something that we can enjoy throughout the life of our faith. And so I asked if we could get some intergenerational lesson sharing with that. And Aislinn in particular agreed that she would come and tell us a little bit about what God has taught her in her time over the last year in particular and how that's helped her grow as a young woman of faith. Come on up. I've got one if you want to look off it. It's up to you. And she's going to tell us a little bit about what some of those experiences have been to learn, not only learn things in that season, but to learn how to learn. So So, Aislinn, first off, thank you for, you got good job getting our heads at the right level there, I see, so it'll look really nice on camera. You can stay in wherever it's comfortable. Do you have any thoughts, just first to start with, on some things that you've experienced in the last year, year and a half, where you realize that there's this process of not just learning in your stage of life, but also learning how to learn, and just some initial thoughts about that?
Probably school with all the stuff that's been happening with COVID.
So one of the things that we've talked about this week in preparing for this and me just wanting to hear from you and then realizing that was a good thing to share was that, yeah, school had a ton of really big changes, right? Many of us saw how there would be some school in person still, but then also school online, having to do assignments in new ways, having to juggle what it means to go back and forth. So what are some of the things that you noticed most about what it was like to learn at school under these different circumstances, where you had to be online sometimes, in school sometimes, things were different, so you weren't learning normally. Did you have to learn how to learn to do some stuff?
Yeah.
Like what?
We had to learn how to organize our lessons.
Right, so normally you would just kind of get a stack of lessons, maybe you do them in class, or you come home with homework, but this way you had to have a lot more that was you were personally responsible for. So what was it like to have that be a new part of what it meant to learn and do your assignments?
Well, it was pretty hard because we had to, like, separate all our classes into tabs and different folders.
On your computer?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And what was it like going into each day and wondering if you were organized enough with that?
Sometimes it could be hard if you haven't, like, planned ahead. Or if you've gotten something that just, like, came out of nowhere and that you have to start doing.
Yeah, and if you're focused on being organized, or here we're going to separate just a little bit so that the mics don't feedback into each other. If you're focused on being organized or you're feeling stressed about keeping up with organization, does that make learning the actual content very easy?
No.
What's it like to have those feelings or have those experiences and also try to learn the content in the way that you need to learn?
It's pretty hard.
Mm-hmm. Any specific examples or descriptions about that?
Not really.
That's okay. So do you think, though, that having to have gone through that learning process, even if there were lots of bumps along the way, do you feel like you're thankful or that anything good came out of that by having to learn organization and learning content at the same time?
Yeah, I'm thankful.
In what way?
I'm thankful that I could go through it and I'm now done with it for now.
That's true. You're going to get right back into it really soon, though, right? What do you think? Did you learn some good organization skills that you like to use now for other things too? Because you were forced to go through that in this case?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Any examples of ways that you like to stay organized?
I like to stay organized with my bookshelves, with like having different sections, being different parts.
Good. So you found ways to take one thing that was hard for a little bit and put it into new parts of your life and other productive ways too. Good. And another big part of your life is your synchronized swimming. We talked a little bit about that when we were on vacation earlier this summer to go to your competition. And I have to admit that for me, it is incredibly overwhelming to think about what is it like to learn how to do synchronized swimming? I do not want to hang upside down in the water and kick my legs around like crazy. That just sounds overwhelming on its own. So the things that you've learned for that are really amazing. But I also know that your practices, even as you were learning that, were kind of impacted by COVID too. You couldn't be in the water all the time. You started to do some performances, but it had been a while since you performed last. So I'm curious, what are some of the things that you feel like you had to learn new for synchronized swimming in addition to just like learning athletic moves this year?
Well, we had to learn how to do stuff on Zoom, like workouts, so we could still keep our body in shape to go back in the water.
Mm-hmm. And since we don't need a pool right here to talk about this, I didn't bring like the baptismal font down or anything like that. Can you show us what is it like to learn your swimming moves on Zoom? Like, what types of stuff do you do for that?
Usually we go upside, like just upside down in general, and just do our legs and.
Okay, so you can do like headstands or things like that. I won't make you do that.
Yeah.
But what can you show a land drill real quick? What a land drill looks like? I know you feel a little embarrassed about this, but. What does a land drill look like to learn the routine? All right, do it nice and big. We can see it in the back. There we go. All right. So basically, you're using your arms to enact what you would do with your legs. So you're trying to make your brain learn something for the future, but you can't even do exactly the way that it is. And that's kind of a weird way to learn. You said you don't like that very much. Mm-hmm. No, it's hard. But another really profound thing that you shared with me, and actually there's been some stuff in the news that I think helps us relate to it too, is that you had to learn some things that don't even have anything to do with being athletic, to be ready for your competitions, right? And what does that have to do with?
We usually have to...
Well, when you perform in front of people, what's an extra thing that you deal with to be ready to perform well in addition to your athletic moves?
We usually have to encourage ourselves and push through some stuff.
What type of stuff do you have to push through? It's okay.
We usually have to push through anxiety and issues that were mental stuff.
Is that a thing that you found is like a big thing for you to learn and to deal with and an obstacle?
Mm-hmm.
When you get up there, you feel kind of nervous, right? Maybe I'm making you feel nervous now, and I'm sorry. But that's a real thing, and we know more and more how being an athletic person is not just about doing the athletic stuff. More and more people are reminding us that there's that mental aspect to what you do, too, and that that's not always easy, and you can have sort of like mental health things the same way you can get an injury and have to deal with that. So you were talking about your teammates have ways of supporting each other so that when you all get anxious or when some of you really have that as something that's a harder thing for you to deal with, that you help each other. What are some of the ways that your teammates do that? Do you have like chants or mantras or like ways that you're kind to each other? What does that look like?
Our chant helps us.
What is it?
Don't drown.
That seems like a smart thing to go, just in case you forget, like the candles or whatever. It seems obvious, but don't drown. I like it. Are there any other coping mechanisms that you found that you use that help you get ready for doing a competition if you're feeling really anxious and so you can do your moves the best?
The best way is to just encourage the other person because then you'll feel better yourself too.
I like that. Not only focusing on yourself, but focusing on your teammates and the things that you're trying to do. Are there any ways that you feel like God in particular has helped you with managing anxiety, with learning all the extra things that you need to learn for school? What has your relationship with God looked like through all of this?
God's helped me push through more stuff than I used to.
Mm-hmm.
And not put a lot of pressure.
Yeah, so one of the things that makes you anxious is that you will sometimes be pretty hard on yourself if things aren't perfect. Is that right? Mm-hmm. Is that something we can relate to too? So what do you know about God and how God looks at you and how God looks at your learning process and whether you're perfect or not that helps you in your own mindset?
That I know that God loves me and God can be patient with me no matter what I do.
And does that help you be more patient with yourself?
Yes.
Can you use that same mindset for how you treat other people too? I know when I get a little bit anxious or stressed out, am I always the nicest person to be around?
No.
No. She knows. She's like, I'll answer that one quick, Dad. I don't have to think about it even for a second. Right, so it's true that also not only can we be hard on ourselves, that sometimes if we operate in our stress, we can be hard on other people, but if we remember that whatever is going on, God loves us and is patient with us, it helps us in both of those types of relationships, right? Yeah? Have you found some ways that you were able to be helpful with like your teammates or other people in school?
Yes.
Good. You want to give me an example of one? Okay. So speaking of that, though, right, another thing that the last year really impacted was our relationships. How many of us had to do relationships in completely different ways than we ever had before? Because we couldn't go and visit each other the same way. We couldn't see people in person the same way that we like to, exactly. And Aislinn told me about how she experienced that same thing. And so, Aislinn, I'm curious, what are some of the things that you found you had to learn how to do and were most helpful in maintaining friendships, even if you couldn't see each other and hang out the way that you were used to?
We usually just stay in contact over the phone or just apps in general.
Mm-hmm. And I know you told me that, like, when the pandemic started, that you were maybe doing regular phone calls or kind of simple chat apps, but then you were finding new ones that let you do more types of things, right? So you started just maybe texting or talking, then what types of things did you find that you wanted to keep doing and keep learning how to do so you could do stuff together?
Usually just play games on the phone and call each other more so we can stay in contact.
That's right. I tried to learn a little bit about like the apps where you can play the game and chat and voice chat and everything else all at the same time on the same video games, which I had not really done very much before. But that's really cool to have all of those different ways to share, even if you can't be in the same room. But we found, too, I think a lot of people shared with me that are out there that, like, if you had to talk on the phone, but you didn't get to see the person's face, you didn't get to give them a hug, or you had to look at letters or texts, and you couldn't tell maybe what people were feeling the same way, that was harder to feel as connected to your friends. Did you and your friends have any ways that you felt like you were able to bridge that gap in having better emotional connection?
We can obviously tell by the voices on our phone, like,
that's okay.
Do stuff differently.
And you told me, too, that there were even some things, like some people are used to using, you know, like smiley face emojis or frowny face or like brain explosion face emojis or whatever it is, but that you guys even kind of came up with your own just within your friend group, not special meanings of some of those for yourselves in addition to what, like, people in general normally use them for. And that kind of helped you feel like you had your own special language to feel that much closer together. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a little bit. So it sounds like you were able to connect with your friends in some ways that you might not have expected to do otherwise. And you learned to put your relationship first, even if the ways that you executed that relationship had to be completely different. So do you have any other examples of this? Maybe like things that you never would have done and how you had conversations and interacted with before, but once you couldn't see each other, it became really important?
Usually share stuff that people really wouldn't just do things that were boring.
Mm-hmm. Like what type of stuff?
Sometimes we share what food we got or just something that we did that day.
Mm-hmm. So when Aislinn was sharing this with me originally when I was asking her, like, what was it like to have your friendships? This is one of the things that kind of annoys me sometimes, actually, right? When people are like, I'm going to take a picture of my breakfast and, like, put it on Facebook or whatever else, right? Like, it seems a little bit silly. But she, to me, said something really profound about it. And that was that she was saying, it seems like a boring thing in your life. But when you couldn't see each other, like, before, you'd go about your daily life, you wouldn't maybe tell anybody about some boring thing that happened. Because then you'd hang out together, you'd have fun, and that would be a thing that you really enjoyed during your day. But when you couldn't have those the same way, the idea of bringing a special person into a boring time and making that boring time more meaningful and more special, especially when so many things felt like they were dragging on for so long, was a huge way that her friendships became a gift to her regular daily time. That even if it seems silly to share boring stuff, that when you bring a special person into a boring time, that completely changes the way that you're able to feel about that relationship and how important it is to you and feel about yourself, right? Do you want to share any more about that? I know I kind of like put words in your mouth from what you were telling me earlier this week, but if you have any more things to say about that, I want to hear it. No? Okay. Did I capture it okay from what we were talking about? That's good. So lastly, we've talked about, you know, a fair amount of things where you had to learn something, you had a challenge, but maybe there were some bumps, but you kind of overcame it. Do you remember, though, are there times where, if you're honest, you look back at it and say, this thing that happened last year, it was a struggle. I know that if I look back, I'd say, I wish I could have done some things different. I want to keep learning. I want to keep growing. It wasn't easy. Are there things that you remember like that where you're like, I'm still trying to improve and work better in that?
Yes.
What can you tell me about that?
Sometimes, whenever my friends and I play video games, we see all these different people's avatars that they create, and sometimes we think they're funny, sometimes we think they're weird, and stuff like that.
And so what would you decide to do if you saw somebody with a weird avatar, which is like a custom character that you can make, or that they weren't very good in the game? Like, what would you initially do if you saw that?
Sometimes we would, like, judge them, but we didn't judge them so hard to the point where we got like mean to them in game.
Okay, that's good. But you told me that you might not play with that person as much, or you might be impatient if they were going to play with you because they weren't as good and they might hold you back, or that you would just avoid them altogether if you thought their custom character looked weird. But then you realized that maybe that wasn't the best way to go. And what did you realize, and how have you been working on that?
I realized that sometimes they could just be doing it for fun, and that's not how they actually are.
Mm-hmm. Anything else? No? Do you feel like you have kept judging people that same way, or avoiding them if they're not as good, or have you decided that because of some things you learned that maybe you're going to try to do some things differently?
I decided to do things differently.
In what way?
I decided to, be, like, nicer to them.
Mm-hmm.
And just say that their avatar looks nice
And have you found that that has helped you have a better experience in any way in playing? That now that you're not avoiding people, now that you're being more patient and playing with people more inclusively, does that make you have like a better or a worse time that you're playing?
Better.
In what way?
It makes it better because I get to make new friends in different games, and that's that I get to meet a online friend next year.
Yeah, that's great. And that sounds a lot to me like the verse that Brian read earlier about how Jesus is encouraging us to judge not lest we be judged. And remember that we're not always perfect. You had to get better in the game every time. You might have people that sometimes think that your custom character is a little bit strange until you explain to them why you think that's cool to you. And so if we're willing to instead support each other, that the ways that we can come together as a community from not judging, but instead finding those ways to support, makes us have, whether it's in a video game or in our regular lives, a lot better experience together. And so, Aislinn, I want to thank you for being willing to do something that was kind of tricky. I know. But it's great for us to hear from other people and what they're dealing with, like what experiences were like, and then what we can relate to in maybe surprising ways. And so I want, hopefully, that we can all take from this that encouragement to continue to be disciples in our faith. That maybe not all of us are going to go and like talk to Aislinn afterwards. I mean, if you want to, find out her handle and be like, yeah, I want to get on the video games with you, and you can teach me how to do it and make a custom character or whatever. I know that probably not every one of us is going to do something like that, but there are still lots of different ways in our own lives that we're going to keep trying to figure out how to have healthy, thriving relationships, even when the physical circumstances are different. We're going to keep figuring out how to learn new ways of being loving and supporting to each other, especially if new challenges come up. We're going to keep finding ways to support each other, even if some of those people have things about them that we find difficult or that we want to reject or be a little bit judgmental about, but that God can still help us come together as a truly beloved and thriving community. And so I hope that we'll take some of that encouragement and say, there are some things maybe in my brain that I'm realizing. Maybe God's prompting me a little bit, like, keep learning in this, keep experimenting in this, keep finding ways to have an outlet for this type of support and love and ways of living out the kingdom. And some of it might even feel a little bit hard to us, like, oh, I'm going to have to look and realize that there's some things in myself that are not great right now, and I'm going to keep improving and learning, but God loves me and will help me do it. Or that thing feels really overwhelming. How am I going to connect with this person who I feel a lot of tension with? How is God going to help me do that? But that feels like almost too much than what I could be able to do. But God is going to help us learn how to learn. The same way that maybe we remember better from when we were in a younger life stage, that can still be happening in our life, and God's love will carry us through all of it. And that's what I hope we take away from today in particular. So as we submit ourselves to do that together as a community of faith, one of the best ways that we have to